Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So our mission today, it's really about finding stability, anchoring ourselves.
That's a good way to put it.
We're diving into the deep structure of the RAFT program. That's
Yeah.
recognize, abandon, freedom, train. And specifically, we're zeroing in on the fourth defender, a gathered mind.
Yes, samadhi in the Pali. And you can argue this is, absolutely crucial for sustaining that freedom long term. It's a capacity that sometimes gets a bit overshadowed, maybe. But honestly, without it, the whole effort to change things, it's just much more
And the
fret.
problem it tackles is just so common, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially now. That feeling of your mind just constantly churning, agitated, restless.
Yeah.
The RFT program calls it washing machine head, and I think that captures it perfectly.
Yeah.
That endless loop of thoughts, maybe obsessive thinking that often fuels harmful compulsions.
Exactly. That internal noise, that agitation, it's really the mind kind of working against itself. It becomes the engine for craving, you see. So, if we define samadhi literally, the word itself means something like placing or bringing together. It's about unifying the mind, pulling its scattered focus onto, well, maybe a single point.
A single point, like an anchor.
Precisely, offering a sort of refuge from that relentless churning.
Okay, so we've talked before about healing mindfulness, the first defender.
Yeah.
That's about noticing what's going on in the mind. How is this different? How do they work together?
That's a key question. Think of it like this. Mindfulness is maybe the observation deck on your raft. It lets you know, hey, there's a storm brewing or there's a big wave coming.
Okay, awareness.
Right, awareness. But a gathered mind, that's the capacity to actually gather up that awareness, which might be scattered all over the place, and hold it steady. So it doesn't just notice the storm, it provides the stability so you aren't just swept away by the first big wave.
The RAFT metaphor makes this really clear, I think. If mindfulness is the lookout up top,
Yeah.
then a gathered mind is like the keel and the ballast, the heavy stuff under the water that keeps the whole thing stable.
That's it, exactly.
It stops the raft from just flipping over
Yeah.
when, a sudden urge or a wave of anxiety hits hard.
Perfectly put. Without that deep internal stability, the mind just gets hijacked instantly. A fleeting thought, some minor external trigger.
And suddenly you're spiraling.
You're spiraling. It escalates into obsessive thinking, and that can lead right back into a compulsive act. Steadiness creates that vital pause, that gap between the stimulus and the response.
And without that stability, we're just stuck in that awful loop, aren't we? Where the agitation itself stops us seeing clearly.
Yes.
And because we can't see clearly, we get more agitated.
It's the definition of a vicious cycle. There's a scholar, Richard Gombrich, who put it beautifully. He observed, "We cannot see clearly because we are agitated, and we are agitated because we cannot see clearly."
Wow.
And a gathered mind, this practice of samadhi, it's specifically designed to deliberately interrupt and break that cycle.
That sounds great in theory. But when the agitation is really intense, like deep anxiety or those really sticky obsessive thoughts, it's just trying to hold focus enough. Doesn't the raft need some serious, like, structural strength
Oh,
first?
absolutely. It absolutely does. And that's why the RAFT program really emphasizes that this isn't just a skill you learn once, it's a fundamental quality, something that deepens through the entire path.
Okay.
Gotama, the Buddha, understood this. He saw that concentration. It starts out as this fragile potential. It's wobbly at first, and it has to be trained progressively, patiently, until it becomes this really unshakable quality, mastery even.
Right, here's where it gets really interesting for me. How did Gautama actually structure that? How do you go from that air wobbly start to dependable strength?
Okay, so initially we talk about developing the faculty of concentration. This is the first stage, the developmental path. Think of it like, I don't know, learning to ride a bike.
Okay, yeah. Lots of falling off.
Exactly. It's that initial kind of shaky ability to even recognize when you've been distracted and
Right.
then gently bring your focus back to whatever you chose to focus on.
Takes effort.
It takes effort and constant gentle correction. And there's a balance, right? If you push too hard, try to force it, you just get more restless. But if you relax too much, you just drift off into dullness.
Right.
Its main job at this stage is simply to start getting a handle on that mental wandering, to control it gently.
So that's like those first attempts at meditation where you feel like you spend 90% of the time just noticing you've wandered off and bringing yourself back.
Yeah.
That active effort.
That's precisely it. But with sustained practice, and this is the train part of RAFT, the consistent effort that fragile faculty starts to mature, it grows into the power of concentration.
Ah, the
This
power.
is the mature defender. It shifts from being something you have to consciously do, like actively steer to becoming an intrinsic, reliable resilience. The keel is now solid, deeply fixed.
So it's just...
It becomes dependable. This power is much less likely to be shaken by the usual stuff craving, emotional turbulence, distractions. It's like having this deep, unshakable reservoir of attention available.
So what happens when that power really gets integrated, like in everyday life, moment to moment?
Well, then it becomes a really practical, tactical asset. It functions as a direct support for freedom, one of the bojagas or factors of awakening.
How so?
In its refined role, it can settle agitation almost instantly, in real time. It's like applying a kind of cooling balm the moment the mind starts to flare up with worry or craving. Awareness can then sort of self-regulate without a big conscious struggle.
A cooling balm. I like that.
Yeah. And then ultimately, this whole progression points towards the highest expression, which is called the culminating path.
Okay.
And that is appropriate concentration, samasamadhi. This is usually defined by those very deep states of meditative absorption, the jhanas, where the mind becomes completely unified, profoundly still. But, and this is important, that deep stillness isn't really the end goal in itself. It's more like creating this incredibly stable, clear platform.
A platform for what?
From which intuitive wisdom, real insight into how things are, can just arise naturally without forcing it, as Gautama said. In the stillness of a gathered mind, wisdom arises naturally.
And that clarity, that wisdom, that's what enables us to exercise freedom, the F in REFT, right? To make different choices.
Exactly.
Okay, but let's bring it back to someone who's really struggling day to day with that washing machine head.
Mm.
How do they start? How do we actually train this?
Yeah.
Move from that fragile faculty stage towards the power stage. What are the practical steps the REFT program suggests?
Right, the train element. The practices are designed to build that single-pointed attention gradually, incrementally. Foundational, of course, is mindfulness of breathing.
The classic.
It's the classic for a reason. You gently rest your focus on the physical feeling of the breath that's your anchor. And when the mind wanders off, which it absolutely will.
Constantly, at first.
Constantly. You just acknowledge it without judgment, hopefully and kindly, patiently, bring it back. It's the ultimate workout in just returning. And returning is the essence of concentration practice.
Okay. And are there other ways to practice focusing? Maybe ones that aren't just about the breath?
Yes, definitely. Loving kindness meditation is very powerful here too.
Metta.
Metta, yes. You use phrases of kindness. May I be well, may you be free from suffering, etc. as the object you keep returning your attention to. This not only steadies the mind, but also cultivates a really positive, helpful emotional state at the same time.
Double benefit.
Exactly. But then, crucially for applying this in daily life, there's practicing single tasking.
That feels like the biggest challenge in our world today, maybe. I catch myself, you know, standing in a queue for coffee and instantly reaching for my phone. Is that the kind of mental scattering we need to work against?
That's precisely it. Every time you deliberately resist the urge to multitask, you're strengthening that focus muscle. So when you're listening to this deep dive, maybe just listen. When you're eating your lunch, just eat.
Just do one thing.
Just do one thing at a time. Every small moment where you choose not to divide your attention, that's like doing a rep in the mental gym for your concentration.
I also like the instruction to notice calm as well as craving. That seems important.
It really is. It stops the mind from feeling like it's only defined by struggle or difficulty. It helps you recognize and even briefly dwell in those moments when the mind is naturally not reactive, when it's peaceful.
Reinforces that freedom is possible?
Yes, it reinforces peace as an actual possibility, not just a theory. And then finally, there's a quick tactical check-in you can do anytime. Just pause for a second and ask yourself, how gathered is my mind right now?
Just check the tone.
Check the tone, check the level of focus. That simple question invites an immediate, gentle return towards steadiness. It's an active choice. It reminds me of that Shunryu Suzuki quote.
Yeah.
He said, "In Zazen, leave your front door and your back door open. Let thoughts come and go, just don't serve them tea. Don't get involved, just stay steady."
Don't serve them tea.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, so this ancient wisdom, it feels really intuitive, it makes a lot of sense. But what does modern science say? Is there evidence that backs this up as a strong defense against, you know, agitation and harmful compulsions?
Oh, absolutely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the neuroscience evidence is actually pretty compelling now. These kinds of gathered mind practices, like meditation, they demonstrably strengthen the prefrontal cortex.
The brain CEO.
Basically, yeah. Your executive control center, the attentional networks, this gives you more top-down control, more ability to regulate impulses and resist acting automatically.
And how does it help with the washing machine head, specifically?
Well, it significantly reduces activity in what's called the default mode network, the DMN.
Ah, yes, the DMN.
Think of the DMN as your brain's sort of internal chatterbox or autopilot. It's where rumination happens, replaying arguments, worrying about the future, mind wandering.
The internal gossip network.
Good one. Yeah. When we train concentration, we're actively learning to quiet that network down, to step off that automatic pilot.
And presumably, if that internal loop slows down, the fear response might lessen too.
Exactly right. These practices also improve emotion regulation by helping to calm down the amygdala. You could call it the brain's threat detector or fire alarm.
Okay.
With more mental stability, that alarm is less likely to get triggered by small things, by random thoughts. And even when it is triggered, the intensity is often lower and it doesn't last as long. You recover quicker.
And psychologically, then, this gives you breathing room, space to handle urges differently.
Precisely. It creates mental space.
Yeah.
It allows you to start seeing urges, cravings, difficult thoughts as just temporary events, like clouds passing in the sky, not as urgent commands that you have to obey right now.
Less identification with them.
Yes. Less identification. This connects quite nicely to the idea of flow states that Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi talked about. That deep, effortless, single-pointed focus isn't just productive, it's inherently rewarding, and it naturally pushes out anxiety and boredom because the mind is fully engaged.
And philosophically, it seems like this message is pretty consistent across different traditions, right? East and West?
Absolutely. Whether you look at Buddhist paths or, say, Western traditions like Stoicism, they all emphasize attention as fundamental.
The Stoics talked about the discipline of attention.
They did, because they knew you can't apply reason or virtue or wisdom if your mind is scattered all over the place. It's like trying to see your reflection in muddy, turbulent water. You have to let the mud settle first. The water needs to be still before it can become clear and reflect reality accurately.
So the gathered mind is the ground.
It's the essential ground.
Okay. So pulling this all together,
mm-hmm.
What does this really mean for someone listening? A gathered mind is like the ballast for your whole life raft.
Yep.
It's the stabilizing force that stops you being constantly tossed around by those internal waves of craving, rumination, anxiety. It gives you a steady, reliable place to stand, essentially, so you can navigate whatever life throws at you.
Beautifully summarized. And when you cultivate that profound steadiness, that inner stability, you create the best possible conditions for all the other defenders in the RFT program to really work effectively. Your capacity for freedom becomes more resilient. Your insight becomes clearer, sharper.
Peace isn't somewhere else.
Peace isn't some far-off goal you have to strive for. It's actually found right here in each moment where you cultivate that stability, that gatheredness.
That's powerful. Now, before we finish up, we really want to make sure we mention that the RAFT to Freedom workbook, which is the foundation for this deep dive and the whole program.
Yes.
It's written by Dr. Catherine, Jacob, and Vince Cullen. And incredibly generously, they're making the entire workbook, all 67 chapters, completely free online.
It's an amazing resource.
It really is. You can find it and download it via the website at raft2freedom.org. That's raft2freedom.org.
And maybe, as you reflect on this idea of cultivating stability, here's a question to consider, something from the program itself for self-reflection. How might nurturing a more gathered mind actually change your relationship with painful memories you hold from the past, or perhaps those anxious thoughts you have about the future?
That's a deep one to sit with. Keep returning to that anchor, that sense of steadiness, knowing that each time you do, you're building something really solid, something unshakable.
Because ultimately, as the meditation teacher Joseph Goldstein reminds us, concentration is the art of returning again and again to what matters most.